listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man with the golden pipes and the dulcet tones. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So go to geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas, and I'm joined in studio by Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the prestigious Hilton, now Westgate, Super Contest. And I can just say this, dearly beloved, we are gathered here tonight to make sense of the Sunday NFL slate for Week 16. And this will be our only chance to prognosticate the college football playoff Final Four, the Peach Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl. We're going to get to that just a minute. So put your seat backs forward and your tray tables upright. We are ready for takeoff. As they say in Sauk Rapids, it's going to be lit. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Fez, before we get to our dissertation on Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU, Oklahoma, just some quick food for thought for the three Saturday NFL games today and what we might glean going forward. They've been writing New England's epitaph now for years. They just clinched their 11th straight AFC East crown. And I just want to drop a couple of things that are very quick food for thought for folks that still think this team is dead in the water. And I get it. They haven't scored a lot of style points this year. But we talked pre-show, and you would agree that if somebody were to ask you to describe Kansas City's offense, you would say it's dynamic, it's prolific, they can score anytime, anywhere, and that would be true. And if someone asked you to describe New England's offense, you would say, well, it's fairly moribund. What if I told you that prior to today now, because the Pats have played one more game, they scored 24 points today. Prior to today, the Chiefs had scored 394 points this season, and the Pats, 372. So they're not that far behind. And secondly, the Pats have only given up 181 points to the Chiefs, 284. And one final thought, as this is food for thought, what did we hear this week? That the Patriots did not have a single player named to the Pro Bowl team. The last time that happened was 2003. Well, what also happened in the 2003 season? The Pats advanced to the Super Bowl and beat Carolina in Super Bowl 38. Carolina and Jake Delhomme in Houston. You've got the floor.
Bring out excellent points about why New England was much better than Kansas City the first half of the year, but they're two teams trending in opposite directions, and I'll give it to you. When Matt Moore's quarterback in Kansas City, New England's a whole lot better. When Mahomes is quarterback in Kansas City and he's got a bum ankle or if he has problems with his knee, then New England's a whole lot better. But that Kansas City defense is playing at its very best, and the New England defense is still elite. That New England offense is falling off the cliff. Brady has had five straight before today, sub-par games as according to QBR. I'm just not impressed with what New England's doing. I don't see them beating Kansas City. They already lost once at home. I think they're going to lose again.
Fair enough. And you are on record as saying the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. Listen, it's got to play out. You may well be right. I don't want to get too caught up on that. But the Pats did score 24 points today against the league's number two defense. Any other quick final thoughts on today's Saturday games before we move ahead to our discussion having to do with college football playoff, which a week from tonight will be decided?
Well, just the importance of getting the best number illustrated by Houston-Tampa Bay. Houston opened up as a one-point favorite, got bet all the way up to three rather quickly against Tampa Bay when Tampa Bay's receivers were reported out, and the link game lands three. So that's a game. If you bet on that game, you should have won or you should have pushed. And the line actually went all the way up to 3.5. So you could have gotten to Tampa Bay plus 3.5 at one point as well. Getting the best number, so important. So often you hear about betting the right side. It's twofold. You got to get the right side, but you got to get the best number also. That's how the pros win money betting on sports.
And we'll delve into that later in the show. One particular game involving the Steelers, we will talk about the importance of patience and how if you wait till tomorrow, you might even get a better number. That's just a little tease for later. All right. Ohio State, Clemson. As it currently stands right now, I believe Clemson's a 1.5-point favorite.
Up to two.
All right. We didn't rehearse this. I don't know where you stand. I'll dive right in. I love Ohio State plus the 2 points. This I know. The Buckeye Nation is ticked including head coach Ryan Day. They were ranked number one. They did nothing, in their view, to earn the fall to number two. The Buckeyes won every game this year by double digits by an average score of 50-14. By the way, Ohio State 15-2 against the spread. As underdogs since 2009, including 7-0 straight up and against the spread in their last seven as underdogs since 2012. By the way, Ohio State 17-1 straight up versus bowl teams in the last 2 years. Ryan Day, their head coach, has never lost. He's 16-0 straight up, 12-4 against the spread. Justin Fields, 40 touchdowns, one interception this year. I feel that Ohio State is the best roster of the remaining four teams. I also believe they were slightly more battle-tested. I always believed Clemson would be fine. I didn't buy that crap when they barely beat North Carolina and people thought they weren't as good. I never bought that. I just think Ohio State, it's their turn this year. Teams typically don't repeat. I will take Ohio State plus the 2 points.
Great point about Clemson not being battle-tested cupcake schedule this year, but I'll make the point. Talk about a team with experience in these big games and these final four games from prior years. I trust Dabo Swinney in all these games. And bottom line is, I can't put past my memory the Wisconsin game where Ohio State struggled and got down 14 points. That showed vulnerability to me. And I know they played very well, Ohio State did, in the second half. But if they get down like that against Clemson, there will be no coming back. I'm passing the game. I'm not betting it.
That's hypothetical there, though, my friend. The world is a vexing enough place to deal with, have to worry about hypotheticals. It's tough to beat a team twice in the same year. And look, they came back and did it and still won by double digits. Let's flip to the Peach Bowl. Oklahoma now catching 13.5 against LSU. Now, you had mentioned last week, you thought part of the reason, Fez, that line was artificially high a little bit and somewhat inflated is because of the location. The game would be played in Atlanta and you expect the crowd to be about 75% pro LSU. Is that correct?
Yes. And when we say artificially high, what we mean is that there's a good reason why that line is inflated. So I don't know if I'd call it artificially. There's just justification. The fact that LSU got to go to Atlanta, play in the SEC title game, beat Georgia there, and now they get to go back a month later, stay in the same hotel probably. So the familiarity, I think, is very helpful for a team. And because of that, I think it's worth a good point to a point and a half in the line.
Well, fair enough. Here's my take, and I do like Oklahoma, and I like the dog here even better. The Sooners have scored 28 or more points in 51 straight games. You've got an experienced quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who's not only been in two national championship games, he's won one. He passed for 3,700 yards this season, completed 73% of his passes, and he's facing an LSU, the 56th ranked LSU pass defense. They have one common opponent this year, both LSU and Oklahoma, and that was Texas. Both LSU and Oklahoma beat Texas by 7, but Oklahoma only allowed 27 points in their game versus the Longhorns. Meanwhile, LSU allowed 38. Keep a couple things in mind also. No number one seed has won the college football championship in 5 years since the inception of this new format. LSU is the number one seed. And there's one game, if you want to really do some homework, look at their game against Mississippi State and quarterback John Reese Plumlee. You had a situation. Their quarterback, he was mobile and fast like Jalen Hurts, ran for 212 yards against LSU. As a matter of fact, they ran for over 300 yards against LSU, which opened up passing lanes as well, scored 38 points. Let's not go to sleep on the Sooners and Lincoln Riley, who's going to have several weeks to prepare for this game. I like Oklahoma in the points. Do I think they'll win outright? Probably not. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be LSU and Ohio State in the final. And if that happens next Saturday night, I'll give my prediction on who I think would win that game because I have a strong opinion about that as well.
I do think the Joe Burrow Heisman Award is not good for LSU. It's a distraction. You don't need distractions this time of year.
You know what? That's not a bad point. It's one of those esoteric points you have to think about, too. The game's played by human beings. All right. One final thing, Fez, before we dive into this NFL slate, we've got a lot of games to get to, including best bets. You're hearing now, you start hearing in about week 15, the quote-unquote must-win scenario. I will never bet a team because they're, quote, in what you would call a must-win scenario. I've always had a saying, tongue-in-cheek, 31 of the 32 NFL teams will lose the game they must win throughout the course of a season. Last week, there were four teams in a must-win scenario. They went 1-3 against the spread. The only one that covered was that goofing Philadelphia Eagle final. You saw what happened, how they front-doored Washington on the last play of the game. Otherwise, they would have gone 0-4 last week. In fact, according to the research I've done, you have a situation where since 2016, after week 15, teams, quote-unquote, in a must-win situation only cover the spread 37% of the time. So it's a false narrative. There are two teams technically, and you point out aptly, the Raiders have a must-win situation. Do we think they will make the playoffs? It's highly unlikely. It's less than 1%, but they must win tomorrow to at least have that chance against the Chargers. They're getting 6.5. My research tells they not only not win, they don't cover. I know you have an opinion on that. The Browns catching 10 tomorrow against the Ravens, also in the quote-unquote must-win scenario. I don't think it's a winning strategy to back must-win teams.
And let's face it, if these teams were successful in must-win spots, then they would have won last week. Oakland hosting Jacksonville and Cleveland, well, pretty much each and every game all year long. How many times does this Cleveland Brown team have to disappoint you until you stop betting on them?
That's a great segue. Speaking of disappointments, Detroit at Denver tomorrow. The Denver Broncos laying 6.5. Seems like, on the face of it, Vince, seems like a big number. The Broncos only 3-6 straight up, 1-7-1 against the number as home chalk in the last 3 years. Lions, for whatever reason I can't explain, they're activating Kerryon Johnson tomorrow. They must want to win. Matt Patricia, the big news out of Detroit this week, but I've been saying it all year, he was never on the hot seat. Bob Quinn, the GM, has a great relationship with Martha Ford. He hired Matt Patricia. They really think that they are installing the Patriot way, and you're not going to do it in 2 years. Lions catching 6.5 tomorrow at Denver. Fez, you have any interest in this game?
I have no interest in it. I do think Kerryon Johnson's a situation where he was on IR and he healed faster than they thought he would. And let's face it, the Lions are pretty much out of running backs right now. So if Kerryon Johnson is healthy, let's go ahead and play him. I will say this. Detroit with Blau, he looked great. Remember in the Bears that first quarter when he put up 14 points? Well, in Blau's first quarter, Detroit outscored the Bears, their opponent, by 7 points. Since then, the next 11 quarters, Detroit's been outscored by 45 points. Blau is not the answer.
I think this team's quit on their coach, and they've said as much. They can't wait for the season to be over. So it's a game I won't be involved in either. Probably won't even watch it. That's just the way it goes. I'd like to thank the Lions for participating in the 2019 season. Another losing campaign. On deck, we've got Raiders, Chargers, New Orleans, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Jets, Carolina, Indy, Baltimore, Cleveland. We're going to have a lot to say about that. We're going to hit the entire slate, and we'll have our best bets coming up toward the end of the show. I was angry last week because I had only gone 2-3 in my last five. I went 2-0 in my best bets last week. Had the Texans and had the over in the Cleveland Arizona game. We'll get back. We'll keep the winning trend going, as it were, as we give our best bets toward the end of the show. I want to remind you that Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
We are back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Fez, let's head to Los Angeles, where the Raiders, it's kind of their second home, they are visiting the Chargers. They're catching, I believe, 7 points, maybe up to 7.5 now.
All right.
So the Chargers have won the stats battle 10 of 14 games this year by an average of plus 72 yards, yet they've got nothing to show for it.
You know, it's amazing here. We've got the second place in the division Raiders team. They're going to have 80% of the crowd on Sunday, and they're playing the third place team, the Chargers, tied for last Chargers, and yet the Chargers are laying 7.5. I can't make that leap of faith. I don't like the Chargers at all right now. Phillip Rivers, his last 5 games, 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Rivers is playing horrifically, and Raider Nation will support this team despite what happened in the black hole last Sunday. I could only look to the Raiders.
Wow, interesting. No Josh Jacobs. It's a game I just can't touch. I zero interest. Atlanta, the Falcons, also laying a touchdown, 7.5 in some shops, against the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the Falcons are playing with purpose. Obviously, clearly, they're fighting for Dan Quinn's job. And you like to talk about moving averages, as it were, which is sort of a stock term, but I think it applies in the NFL, too, because if you look at Atlanta in their last 6 games, they're not the same team. They're 4-2 straight up and against the spread, but they're not great following back-to-back straight up against the spread covers. In fact, in the Dan Quinn era, they're a miserable 4-20 against the spread, which means Atlanta could win, but I don't know if they cover the 7.5. Jacksonville gave a nice effort last week in Oakland, ruining the last game in the Coliseum there. Now they go on the road back-to-back weeks. Can the Gardner Minshew magic show get it done again and hang this number?
I'm not sure. I'm standing on the sidelines on this one. I do love the way that Atlanta's played since their bye week. So Coach Quinn ceded the play calling on the defense to his assistant coaches. That's worked out much better. Atlanta's against the spread margin since then has been 13 points per game. So this team's massively exceeding expectations. I got to tell you, Bernie, I was all ready to fire on Atlanta with all of the internal problems that Jacksonville was having. Talk about how they're having mandatory meetings for their injured players during the offseason and the like, and they're the worst team in the NFL to play for, but then they fired Coughlin. The Coughlin time where the clocks were
that might have been a positive, though, for these guys.
A huge positive. They turned the clocks back, and everyone cheered, apparently. So because of that emotional bump that they've gotten, I'm going to pass the game.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's head to Tennessee. Tennessee catching 3 against New Orleans, 73% of the bets on New Orleans. This is really going to be a good duel between two quarterbacks that are having good seasons. If you don't believe me, don't look now, but Drew Brees and Ryan Tannehill are the two highest. They own the two highest passer ratings in the entire NFL. Brees is 115.6, Tannehill 114.6. Not bad. If you knew that, you win the toaster oven. Tennessee has been 10-5 against the spread the last 2 years versus NFC teams. So if they can navigate, if Tennessee can navigate that Saints defense that's been above average, they're only allowing 90 yards per game on the ground. They've managed 44 sacks this year, 98 quarterback hits. In Tennessee is very much fighting for a playoff spot. They win their next 2, they're in. They win the AFC South. This will be a good game. I like Tennessee. I've played it for half a unit, catching the field goal at home.
Okay, one housekeeping item. Tennessee actually can still make the playoffs, but they can't win the division. Houston clinched today.
Thank you. Thanks
so
for pointing that out.
Tennessee needs 2 wins, and they just need 1 loss by Pittsburgh if they win out. So,
thank you for pointing that out.
So they don't completely control their destiny, but they're close to it. So you're absolutely right. Super motivated. Quarterback's playing great. One little tidbit here on this game. Drew Brees, as good as he's been playing fantastic. His last 18 games, Bernie, 1. One of those games has been on grass. The other 17 have been on turf. So this could well be the game that Drew Brees suddenly does not look like
Drew
Brees.
That's interesting. What a great angle.
So I'm on Tennessee.
It reminds me of the old Tug McGraw angle before the 1971 World Series where they asked him, do you pitch better on grass or turf? He said, I don't know. I've never smoked turf. But I digress. All right, let's move to Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, where I'm calling this game, Fez, the Underachiever Bowl. The headline here, Danny Dimes, it rose by any other name, is Daniel Jones. He makes his return, his triumphant return. Both teams will close out 2019 under 500 for the third straight season. Will anybody watch this game?
Oh, everyone who bets on it will.
Is anybody going to bet on this game?
People bet on every game, Bernie. And actually, a whole lot of people are betting on this
game.
Work
with me, Fez. I'm like,
because the Giants have taken on a lot of money. The Giants have now become the favorite in this game. The Giants are laying a point. I don't understand that at all. Washington has been playing their best ball of the year. Their last four games, they should be 4-0 against the spread. I don't want to talk about what happened last week. And the Giants prime for a letdown after Eli got that emotional win.
Well, I think that, I'll tell you what, I actually think that Washington's prime for a letdown because Dwayne Haskins played the best game he's ever played last week. I don't think he can do it twice in a row. All right, a game I really think that it will merit a lot of attention for a lot of good reasons. Pittsburgh visits the Jets. Currently, the Steelers are laying 3 at New York. Now, obviously, there are storylines around this game, right? You've got Le'Veon Bell. He wants revenge. You got Hines Ward, former Steeler. He's the receivers coach. He's asked his team, win one for me. Here's the concern if you're a Pittsburgh fan. Their offense, Fez, it's been exposed, okay? In case you missed it, points per game, they rank 25th in the NFL. Yards per game, they rank 30th. In terms of red zone, touchdown percentage, they rank dead last. That's not good. Duck Hodges, a guy I kind of like, really came back to earth last week, threw 4 interceptions. Can he bounce back? And by the way, the Jets' run defense, it's not too shabby. Yards per carry, 3.3. That's first in the NFL. Yards per game, they're only allowing 88 yards per game. The New York Jet defense, second in the NFL. The final thing, Sam Darnold in their last 6, 4-2 straight up, 3-3 against the number at home. As we talked about pre-show, I've already played the Jets for half a unit, but I may fire that other half a unit if the line does
go to 3.5, and I'm holding out. I'm waiting for that 3.5 on the Jets because let's face it, Bernie, we talk about must-win teams and teams that really need a game like blood, and Pittsburgh needs this game badly. They're competing with Tennessee for that wild card, last wild card spot, and because of that, I think the point spread tax will go up on Pittsburgh tomorrow, and it will go up to 3.5, and I will be fading Pittsburgh, backing the Jets. The Steelers' offense, they've only scored 8 touchdowns their last 7 games. The Steelers are doing with smoke and mirrors and a great defense. They won 3 games, 3 close games against the Rams, Indy, and Arizona, all of them with a special teams defensive touchdown. Hey, if they get one here, they'll probably cover any one game. A team's a big underdog to get one. However, I am on the Jets.
I'm on the Jets with you. I think there's great value from a technical standpoint in that you're getting 3 points at home, and from a fundamental standpoint, and you've really got a team motivated to show up tomorrow. Well, both teams are, but I think the Jets might even be a little more motivated. They know they can almost wreck Pittsburgh season, almost. And you've got Le'Veon Bell and Hines Ward that both apparently have an axe to grind. We've got to get to Cincinnati, Miami, Carolina, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Cleveland, and I've got a little public service announcement on the Cleveland Browns and, of course, Dallas, Philly, which will be a terrific game, Arizona, Seattle, Kansas City, Chicago. We're going to get to all of them, plus best bets. But first, let's go to the man. He's a BF. I'm a BF. We're BFFs because tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. It's Brad Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. Robbie Gould bangs in the game-winning 33-yard field goal as the 49ers gut-punch the Rams 34-31. After the game, San Fran quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo hyping up next week against Seattle with a division crown and the number one seed up for grabs.
We know it's going to be a hostile environment. I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome. Just it'll be a great challenge for us. You know, all these games, it seems like every week is a big game, and this time of year they all are. So we'll go in there with the right mindset, prepare for these guys, and you know, make it happen.
After the game, Rams quarterback Jared Goff, when realizing this loss knocks his team out of the postseason, said, quote, "You never envision something like this when you start the year. It's not even close to the standard that we want to hold. It's sickening." The Patriots nauseate the Bills 24-17. New England takes the AFC East title. Buffalo settles for that 5th seed in the postseason. Jameis Winston barfs up 4 interceptions as the Bucs bow down to the Texans 23-20. Houston takes the AFC South. A couple games to finish out Saturday's NBA slate. The Clippers punished the Spurs 134-109. Kawhi Leonard flirting with a triple-double. 26 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. James Harden 47 points as the Rockets sucker-punched the Suns 139-125. The Trailblazers down the T-Wolves 113-106. Portland now with 4 straight wins. Minnesota 10 straight losses. And online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Back to Bernie Fratto in the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Thank you very much, Brian. And folks, I want to remind everybody that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you'll earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cashback Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. All right, Fez, Cincinnati will visit Miami, and this is a game I'm intrigued by. Since Miami actually opened up as a one-point favorite, but since so much money has come in on the Bengals, it's now swung across zero, and the Bengals are now laying 1.5. Imagine that a team is 1-13, and they're a road favorite. Now, perhaps part of the reason is that in their 14 games, Miami has only won the stats battle twice. And in the 12 where they didn't win the stats battle, this is important. They've been outgained by an average of 109 yards per game, but they play hard. They've got Ryan Fitzmagic, and I like Miami in this spot, Fez, and I think it's an excellent opportunity for a teaser.
Yeah, I'm glad we're spending a lot of time on this because it is obviously a big marquee matchup game. But from a betting perspective, I too like Miami. I like Miami +1.5. I like Miami teased up to the 7.5. Let's face it, though, we can talk all we want about how bad Miami's been all year long. Well, yeah, back in week one, they got outgained by like 300 yards, 400 yards against Baltimore. But since this team got rid of went ahead and made the change to Fitzmagic and put Rosen on the bench where he belongs, this has been a pretty good team. Miami's been 3-4 straight up. That includes a one-point loss to the Jets. Bottom line is the Bengals, like you said, they've won one game all year long, and it's not like their losses have been close. Their last 8 losses, they've all been by a touchdown or more. This is a mystery to me, Bernie, how in South Beach in Florida the Bengals can be laying. I like Miami.
I'm with you. All right, as we move along, the Indianapolis Colts laying 7 at home against the visiting Carolina Panthers. Now, I don't know if, you know, they give away free popcorn or something in Colts' final season finale home games, but in the last 9 seasons, Fez, the Colts are 9-0 straight up in season finales. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they cover the 7, but let's not bury the lead. The new quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, official tomorrow, is
Will Greer comes in. 3rd-round pick out of West Virginia. How good is he? Well, I wish I could evaluate that, but all I can go by is preseason stats, which were mediocre, although he did play against good defenses. If that means anything in the preseason, I know this. Kyle Allen was playing fairly well for most of the year. The fact that Carolina is only now making the change to Will Greer is sending a signal to their team. We're evaluating talent here the last 2 weeks, and we really don't care about winning. Because of that, I could only look towards Indy despite all of their injuries they've had all year long, including T.Y. Hilton.
Good stuff, Fez. All right, Cleveland, this is a game I've been looking forward to talking about. They're hosting the Baltimore Ravens, and they're catching 10 points at home. 85% of the bets are on Baltimore. Before we get into this game, though, a couple of things. Over the summer, when training camp opened about mid-July, we had about 6 shows, Sleepy and I did about 6 shows heading into opening weekend of the NFL, where I gave a public service announcement and warned everybody, do not believe the hype in Cleveland, right? And at that time, their win season total was 9, and sometimes 9.5, and it was steamed. And I think the books are rolling in dough. You see some nice new chandeliers probably after the first of the year. What I thought would happen is exactly what happened. And I'll repeat one of the public service announcements I gave. The last time, and why am I doing this? Because Cleveland can now not exceed 9 wins. They can't even get to 9 wins. The best they can do is go 8-8. So if you're holding an over ticket on the Browns, I'm not picking on you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it happened. Listen, they let a lot of people down. I'm not one of them. Why? Because Cleveland's last 9-win season was 2007. Forget 10-win seasons. They would have had to go 10 wins for you to cash that ticket. Last 9-win season was 2007. Their last playoff was 2002. Their last playoff appearance. Their last playoff win was 1994. Their last divisional title, 1989. And thank God, Fez, we had a milestone today. We actually went a full day without OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., getting in front of a microphone or a camera and sharing with us that either wants to be here or doesn't want to be here, or this place is special, or I'm going to talk in circles. Now we know why no one waved goodbye to him when he left the New York Giants. All right, I'm done on my Cleveland Brown rant. Lamar Jackson, 7-1 against the spread run, 22 touchdowns and one interception in his last 8 games. Baltimore, 6 double-digit wins. By the way, since losing to Cleveland, that's probably their highlight. Cleveland actually beat Baltimore in Baltimore in week 4. Since then, the Ravens are 10-0 straight up, 7-3 against the number. Their average margin of victory is 18 points. The Ravens want to win tomorrow, and they want to win big. They'll rest their starters in week 17. They'll have a bye in week 8. You know, they'll have a first-round bye. And I think, you know, Lamar Jackson is a little nicked up, gives him a chance to lick his wounds a little bit. They want to win this game tomorrow. But does the back door stay open for the Browns?
I don't think so. Normally I would. You summarized it perfectly. The Ravens, there's a point spread tax in play. When a team wins 10 straight games and they've been covering 7 of their last 8, the books have been getting shredded on Ravens games. Think about that Jets game on Thursday. So what happens? We'll just juice up the point spread so the public has to pay extra. And so they made the spread 10. Mm-hmm. So normally I'd say, obviously, we're going to take a mediocre team and bet against the Ravens and take the generous 10 points. The problem is that this is a big revenge game. The fact that the Browns and Chubb ran all over Baltimore, and this was Baltimore's last loss, I think Baltimore has this game circled, and it's rare for a 10-point road favorite to have a game circled to say we want to bury the Browns, get our revenge, shut down Chubb, who I'm going to bet under for his rush yards. I expect it to be right around a little bit below 100, and then go ahead and rest up, having locked up the number one seed. So because of that, I want no part of these Cleveland Brown dysfunctionality team.
I'm with you. I love the Lamar Jackson t-shirt. Nobody works harder. Nobody cares work harder. I love this guy. By the way, I already told you what the Ravens have done since week 4, going 10-0, 7-3 against the number, week 4 being the last time they played Cleveland in which they lost. What have the Browns done since week 4, since beating Baltimore? 4-6 straight up. Their point differential in those 10 weeks, minus 30, and their turnover margin is minus 7. We've still got to get to Dallas, Philadelphia, Arizona, Seattle, Kansas City, Chicago, and we'll wrap it up with best bets. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. And before I go any further, I want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles. That would be Eric Roberts, Chris Perfett, and Brian Finley. Turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. Very much appreciate what they do behind the scenes to keep this show on the air so we can broadcast this information to a grateful nation. Thanks so much, guys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. Dallas, Philadelphia, Fez, this is a game that I think may be the most watched game tomorrow. There's a heavy action on this game. Dallas opened up right away as a 2.5-point favorite on the road. I was not surprised by that send-off line. Jason Garrett in his career, 7-2 at Philly. Meanwhile, Carson Wentz, 0-3 in his last 3 versus the Cowboys. But there are questions, imponderables around this game. A lot of subterfuge in the National Football League. Dak hadn't taken any snaps in practice this week. What does that do to their vertical passing game? We don't know. Because if Dallas doesn't move the ball through the air, they're going to have to do it on the ground. This is why this is important. Philly is susceptible to a good vertical passing game. They've given up 14 touchdowns of 20-plus yards through the air this season. So if Dak can't stretch the field and get the ball to his wide receivers, you've got to rely on Ezekiel Elliott. Now, at first blush, Philadelphia, well, they're pretty stout against the run. They've got a top 10 run defense. But if you look closely, Ezekiel Elliott has done very well against the Eagles. In fact, in his last 3, He's averaged 31 touches per game, 175 yards per game from scrimmage, and scored 3 touchdowns. We might be on opposite sides of this. I lean Dallas.
Yeah, so Dallas is the much healthier team, or appeared to be, and should have a major edge against Philly. Let's face it, Philly has been reeling. Philly is 2-3 their last 5 games, including a loss to Miami. What have their wins been? An overtime win against the Giants and a very fortunate win against Washington. So Philly is just not playing well at all, and it's all about being compromised at wide receiver. Since Jeffrey went down and their left tackle went down, this team basically is throwing to tight ends, and Carson Wentz, it's all up to him. It's not his fault. So Philly just doesn't have enough offense to keep up with Dallas. But here's the problem with Dallas. Very mysteriously on Friday, Dak Prescott gets left off the injury report despite having 3 injuries, Bernie. He's got a problem with his finger. He's got a problem with his wrist. And, of course, the shoulder, such that he wasn't even able to throw all week long.
Right. Or take any snaps.
I think that this is a subterfuge completely, where the reason he's not on that injury report is because he's injured. I think that Dak isn't close to 100%, and I think the Cowboys are going to have to run the ball with Zeke Elliott. Now, they might be successful. They've been successful with him in the past doing just that, but I think that it is a telltale sign that they kept Dak off the injury report.
You've been perceptive in these things because your eyes are telling you something that the media is not. And as a result of that, and based on what you've observed, it actually leads you to your best bet in this game in a particular angle.
Yeah, so I'm going to go under the 46 points. I just talked about how the Eagle offense is compromised with all their wide receivers injured and a lineman injured. I don't think the Eagles are going to be able to score more than 20 points. So if we go ahead and look at Dallas, though, if Dak is not close to 100%, it's going to be a whole lot of Zeke Elliott moving the chains, the clock moving and ticking. And let's face it, that Eagle defense was injured all year long. It is healthier now than it was earlier in the year. I'm looking at a 23-20 game. I'm going under the total.
Fair enough. All right, we head to Seattle. The Seahawks laying a fairly healthy number against the visiting Arizona Cardinals, 9.5. Interestingly enough, Seattle only 2-4 against the spread at home. And if you look at their 4 home wins, by the way, Cincy by 1, Rams by 1, Bucks by 6 in overtime, Vikings by 7. Is this number too big?
I think it is too big, and I think the number's going to come down. Sharp money is going to be on Arizona. Seattle's only won 1 game all year by double digits. Seattle is 10-1 in 1-score games. This is a team that is not nearly as good as their overall record. I expect Arizona will bring it for this game, and Seattle may well be looking ahead to the showdown against the 49ers next week.
One of the things that keeps me off this game is that the team that Seattle beat by double digits was Arizona, and Arizona, I believe they beat them by 17. Am I wrong?
You're correct, but that was turnover-driven. The yardage was almost equal.
Could
in that
be a
game.
False, as you referred to, sort of a false final, or what's the word you use?
Yeah, exactly. False final's good.
Fraudulent result, whatever. Right, little deceiving. All right, Kansas City, Chicago. I'll enjoy watching this game tomorrow night. The visiting Chiefs laying 5.5 at Chicago, 91% of the tickets. On Kansas City, now on the road this year, the Chiefs, Fez has predicted the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. He may be right. We'll see. They're 5-1 on the road, straight up, 4-2 against the spread. As favorites, the Chiefs are 8-3 this year, straight up, 7-4 against the number. Now, there's a little conflicting stuff here because the Bears have been home dogs twice this season. They're 2-0 against the spread, and their defense has been above average. They're allowing only 18 points per game, third in the NFL behind only New England and Buffalo. And the Bears, in the last 3 years, they've been a home dog 13 times, but they're 11-2 against the number, catching 5.5 at home against Kansas City on the standalone Monday night game. Fez, where do you lean?
Strong lean to Kansas City. They've held their last 4 opponents to 17 points. They should hold Chicago to 17 points. And if they do, Mahomes and company should get to 24. What's this, 24 minus 17? That's a 7-point differential. That's all we need to cover, that 6-point spread.
One thing before we move to my best bet, which will involve the Monday night game, you brought up a good point about Kansas City's defense and in the last few weeks. Talk about that, because we both know to get to a Super Bowl, you've got to fire in all 3 phases, offense, defense, and special teams. And maybe the Chiefs' defense deserves a little bit more credit than they've gotten.
Yeah, so the Chiefs brought in defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, and it took a little while, but the Chiefs have consistently improved with their defense throughout the year, and that D was bad last year, ranked 26th in the league by Football Outsiders. Now, the KC defense is number 11, so think about that. If their offense is even close to where it was last year, which it is, and their defense is much better, well, they're one D4 jumping off sides away from going to the Super Bowl last year. KC's going this year.
Boy, think about that stat you just gave. Per Football Outsiders, the Chiefs' defense now ranks 11th. Last year, they were bottom five or so. And they still managed to almost, they were a whisker from going to the Super Bowl. All right, my best bet is going to take, just to clarify, your best bet, Fez, Dallas, Philly, under 45.5.
Under 45.5, yes.
All right, fair enough. My best bet is going to go to Monday night, Minnesota laying 5 against Green Bay. Now let's take a look at this. The Packers are 11-3, but the wise guys feel they're a bit of a fraudulent 11-3 because they've been outgained in 10 of their 14 games by 80 yards per game. Mike Zimmer, he's nails. 60-34 against the spread in all NFL games. That's good enough for me. We'll go to Minnesota minus 5. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. Next up, keep it locked. Coming from Oklahoma, the pride of Oklahoma, it's Chris Plank. Stay tuned.
Straight Outta Vegas!